fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum. Fish heads, fish heads, roly poly fish heads, fish heads, fish heads, eat them up, yum.
Hey, welcome back to Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It. I'm your host, Ben Sargent, and I'm out surfing with my buddy Keone, and we are conducting this interview from the lineup, and I'm not joking. And we're going to make it quick because we're getting cold by not surfing, but Keone, welcome to the show.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. You're from Hawaii, huh?
Yep, Big Island.
Big Island.
Kiokaha.
But how, in God's name, did you end up in New York?
I followed a girl here, and not with her anymore, but I'm glad you brought me here.
and you've got a little bait shop that has become sort of like a full scale operation, right?
Yeah. It started as Keone's Bait and Tackle, and it turned into Mr. Bait. Now we're called Mr. Bait.
I take it you grew up fishing all over, but Hawaii was your stomping ground.
Yeah. That's where I learned to fish in Kailua, and then I did a lot of fishing down in Kauai High, off the Big Island, for marlin, pono, mahi-mahi, all the big game fish. And now I'm going for striped bass, blackfish, flounder, fluke, you know, all the fun fish around here.
And who comes to the shop? Because it's pretty far out in the Rockaways. And I know it's, like, not the easiest place to find unless you're sort of a local around here. How would a guy like me find your shop?
Well, there's a fairly good-sized marina there. It's at 59th Street, and it's on the bayside. And so I have a lot of clients that come from the marina. They go out on boats, but I also have a fairly big group of shore casters that come from all over. There's only a couple bait shops on the peninsula.
Okay.
So we're one of the ones that cover the far Rockaway area.
Sure.
So I got a lot of guys coming in from the beach and from the bay.
Ooh, we just got a little swell there. Keone's holding my board steady as I do this. So if you hear a kaplunk, that means that a big wave has come, and we are either duck diving under it or I've stuck the phone, like, in my mouth. And this is not a waterproof phone, by the way, folks. This is an iPhone. So, but if they can send one to space, which I just saw a video of them doing, I guess they... Did you see that? They literally, these guys bought a weather balloon. They're out with their kids. They made a little thing. They sent it up to the space. So, anyway, so you landed here, and did you ever think that you were going to be involved in a lot of the things that you were involved in back home?
No, actually, I got it. You know, I've been an artist my whole life, so I went to art school at SBA for 4 years, all at night while I worked during the day.
Yeah.
And so I still do illustration here and there, but I did a lot of illustration for High Times magazine, actually.
Really?
Yeah. You were one of my best clients.
No kidding.
Made my first shot out of school.
Do you still do any freelance for them?
I talk to Frank every now and again. He's the art director there, real nice guy. And so we're still friendly. I just haven't really knocked on his door in a while.
No kidding.
It's all political art,
right,
editorial.
Right.
Kind of really fun stuff to illustrate because it's, you know, they're kind of politically charged.
Sure.
So, you know, after I went to school, I thought I would be doing art. And I worked for Leroy Neiman, the painter, for a long time.
Yep.
And then I worked for his publishing company, Holder Publishing, doing all his prints and serigraphs and lithographs.
Wow.
And so I kind of thought that was going to be my path there.
Right.
And I still do a lot of art handling, actually, with a company called Beetle.
Okay.
We go down to Miami every year to
the fall. Oh, yeah. Great.
But anyway, I like the bait shop. It's really been a fun experience this year, the first year.
Explain the bait shop, because people have to, it's pretty cool. It's in a boat, basically.
Yeah. It's an abandoned boat, and we rebuilt out the inside, put a lot of electric in there, and I carry eels. Bunker's pretty much my main thing. It's a small bait fish that found all in the bay.
I should say, as we speak, they're bunker hitting the surface right now, and if you guys don't believe me, we're taking video footage, and we have a feeling there's probably some little schoolies underneath them, but they're definitely flopping around.
Yeah. but clam. I also sell clam, but basically I'm there on the weekends at 5:30 until 8 during the season.
Wow.
It's really on.
Yeah.
And like bass season starts with a bang in April, and it just goes crazy in the Back Bay. I mean, you can get some really big fish back there, like, you know, 8 or 40 inches back there. So.
Sure. Do some of the ocean guys come out? Like any of the charter guys come for bait? Or?
They do. The ocean guys, when they leave from my place, they do. And I have a couple guys that when they're in the back and they have a hard time getting them,
yeah.
They'll come in. For a while, I had Live Bunker in a pen out down by the dock. So
sure.
This guy would come in with his boat, and I'd hook him up. And,
is that going to be the case for summertime?
Yeah. Well, what happens is the bunker kind of move out after it gets warm.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of slows down the whole bunker scene.
I see. But, I mean, starting next season, you'll have them live again?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Definitely will.
Because that's good for people to know. They're hard to find live around.
Oh,
here.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's tough. No one keeps them live, and I have the unique situation where I have water right there at my shop. So
yeah.
I keep them down in a pen down there, and I got a kid, Kenny Gates, who helps me out.
Kenny, I met Kenny. Now, what's his situation?
He's classic, man. He's like...
He really knows the shop inside and out, right?
Oh, yeah. From day one, he showed up in the shop. He studied the shop, and I was like, what's this kid doing in my shop for an hour? And he was basically taking inventory, and he told me basically straight up one day that I want to work here, and I don't need to get paid, and I'll just do it. But we do pay him in gear and tackle.
So he's a diehard fisherman.
Yeah,
yeah.
He loves to fish, and he's getting better and better at it as he does it more. I mean, he's only 15 years old.
Right.
You know, so.
And he knows all the... I heard that he gives nobody a deal. He's really good at playing hardball, right?
Oh, yeah.
He's better than you guys, probably.
Oh, yeah. He's a tough cracker, man. Tough kid. He's really a good and smart kid, though.
Yep.
We're really lucky to have him at the shop. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, there's been a lot of kids that came in and out of the shop, and, you know, we try to be a place where kids can hang out and, you know, a little off the street. It's kind of a rough area. Far Rock is definitely one of the tougher ghettos in New York.
And he's like right around the corner, right? It's pretty local?
Yeah, he's on 52nd Street.
Okay. Now, I mean, it's what do you guys have going on over there? Because if you didn't know, can't tell if it's like a blue collar like fishing hangout or whether it's like a artist nudist colony. It's
it's a crazy scene.
I know Ari because I took some art classes in Greenpoint, and I've known him through the bar scene. So Ari owns the marina.
Yeah,
you own the bait shop. You're in charge of all that.
I'm actually
partners with Ari.
Yeah.
So this thing is a huge undertaking. It's
there's been a lot of improvements done to the marina just in this past season. They're really working hard to keep the marina. It sort of was run down a little bit. Ari got my buddy Todd working there, and he's really shaped up the place. They got rid of a lot of old derelict boats, and they put a lot of time into making the place nice and a safer place.
Right.
Working on the lights, getting the electric on the docks working, and a lot of stuff.
So is the idea that people are going to be able to stay there if they want?
Well, right now we do have two houseboats, and I think the plan is to get a few of them to where maybe people would stay year-round.
Right.
It's really a beautiful place to stay and hang out. And I don't know what the exact long-term plan Ari has for the houseboats, but he really likes art, and he does promote different things. Like, he wants to have a few concerts this next year.
He was working on his sculptures when I surprised him the last time.
Yeah, he's got a little art studio going now, and they've got showers and really nice bathrooms built by a buddy of mine, Rob Syracuse, who actually did my house. So it's been, you know, it's been a real rebuilding year, but I think we're set up to have a really good chopper
line. They're probably wondering what in God's name we're doing out here right now. They probably think we're a bunch of terrorists. anyways, so I guess, I mean, like, I know a lot of the problem for people when they're trying to figure out where to put their boat is that in the bay side, it actually freezes over sometimes. Is that the issue for you guys?
Well, yeah. most people pull their boat out around the end of bass. Like a lot of the heavy fishermen will. Some guys pull out right at the end of the season, which is like October 15th, and then the hardcore fishermen stay in till the end of bass season, which is December 15th.
Okay.
So they're really keen on staying in for days like today when it's really nice.
Right.
Not too cold, and
bass,
they get a good run of bass at the end. It really hasn't turned on quite like years past, but the beginning of the year was really good.
Sure.
You get to take the good with the bad fishing.
Right.
That's why they call it fishing, not catching.
Definitely the case for me 90% of the time. What, just since we're on Catch It, Cook It, and Eat It, what do you do in terms of like preparations for your fish? Do you have any like Hawaiian dishes that you would ever use on like a striped bass, like Hawaiian sauces or anything?
I like to just do the taco thing and just let the flavor of the fish come through because that's such a good tasty fish.
Like a poke, not a pokey sandwich, a taco.
No, regular taco. You know, with beans and cheese and onions and stuff.
Right.
But the bluefish, which is a little gamier, a little fishier, some people don't like, which I don't have a problem with because I eat aku, which is really kind of the same fishy flavor.
Interesting.
And I like to do a shoyu recipe with that, where I do soy sauce, brown sugar, garlic, and I put a little like hot spice in there too that my buddy sends me from Texas.
Great.
And it's kind of a chipotle mix sauce, and I add that in there.
Yeah.
And did I say garlic? I forgot.
Garlic in there as well.
Garlic.
Right.
And that. A short soak in that is really tasty, and then wrap it up in foil and throw it on the barbecue or even in the oven is really good too.
We put on the Brooklyn Fishing Derby every year. Is there any chance we might get you to fish in it next year?
Oh, I'd love to if I had the time. It's really been kind of like a real battle just to be at the shop so long. Like next year, I'm really hoping to get a few younger kids to help me out more, and so I can.
How about 32-year-olds?
Hey, come on now.
Young kids like 32-year-olds. You seem like a project guy. I mean, you basically just finished building your house. Now you're on to the marina. When everything like that is sort of calmed down, what would you imagine is going to be the next Keone project?
Well,
I should say Keone and Beth project.
Yeah.
She's the
main woman behind everything. She keeps everything square as far as all the money and everything.
Okay.
And she's really key to the whole operation. Without her, I'd be lost. Yeah. But she also is a working photographer. So that's where we get the real money.
This is
kind of like we didn't make a whole lot of money doing this year, but we're hoping that changes as we get more into marine supplies, and we also do boat rentals there too.
You know what you're going to charge for a slip for the season?
You know, I'm not really sure. I can't really tell you the exact slip prices and everything, but I do know that there are vacancies, and it's a good place to keep your boat. It's safe now. We have a gate, and they're putting in cameras.
And you have electricity and everything running to
electricity
cool.
And water on the top. Yeah, and now we have hot showers too.
Great.
and really nice new bathrooms there.
Amazing.
So, yeah,
you say you got rid of all the derelict boats. I mean, the problem right now, and my friends and I are in this situation too, is we have a boat and it's just collecting so much like in dock fees and blah 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 that it's probably beyond what we can afford, and like the boats. This economy has just driven all the boats into the ground.
Yeah, that's what happens a lot. Is once you owe more than the boat's worth, people just walk away, and then their boat gets lean on it, and then
they crush it.
Yeah, they either crush it or sometimes they sell it, guys buy them and they put the time back in.
Yeah.
So, even though there's some boats that just they're gone.
Our boat got stolen off of North 3rd Street, and we found the guy who stole it. And he was his fancy pants from the Upper West Side. And we busted him, and he never even told his wife. So if you're listening, buddy, you know who you are. Don't go stealing boats. It's grand larceny. There's no different. Permanent record, So just briefly, because we're going to have to catch some waves here and wrap this up. But what is the draw to me? I mean, like, I guess I'm kind of like you, not to the same extent, but like I found all these things that in Cape Cod sort of like made up who I was, fishing and surfing and boating and all this stuff. Like, how was it a surprise to you that you found all this, or did you know it was here? Or
honestly, I didn't know the surfing. I didn't even know you could surf in New York, you know, and the fishing, I had no idea, you know.
Right.
I never thought New York had the kind of fishery that I mean, it's really holding fish in the back there. They get a lot of fish. I mean, it's really, when the bass are here, it's crazy.
Right.
It's really, you can get a trophy bass, right, like 5 minutes from the harbor,
yep.
right off the 59th, you know, and there's blackfish,
sure.
And fluke, and
right.
a lot of really interesting fish, and it's fun to explore the back bay. There's kayaks. We rent kayaks.
You'd never know you're in New York, but you're in reeds.
Oh, yeah. Right? JFK. I mean,
waves skip to your head.
Yeah.
And you smell gasoline.
Yeah. But it's fairly clean, and I'll tell you, they're doing more and more to clean up the bay.
Sure.
There's, like, this whole initiative to keep nitrogen, or to get lower the nitrogen count in the whole bay, which, if it gets better than it is now, it'll just be really tremendous, because I mean, it's already pretty clean, you know. I mean, it's cleaner than you think.
Way more than you think. I
mean,
even the bass that we're pulling out of the East River are beautiful.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize that, oh, here comes a set. So we're about to get... And we'll be wrapping this one up sooner than you think. Hopefully, well, maybe we're actually filming while we conduct this interview, so maybe Keone will catch a wave out of his interview. That would be pretty insane. You're kind of, like, known around here, whether you know it or not, as like a big wave surfer. You take a longboard out sometimes when it's huge and most people wouldn't. Is that because of your Hawaiian upbringing?
Nah, it's just, you know, I like good-sized waves because I'm a pretty big guy. So I like the faster waves, you know.
Right.
So it's fun when it's a little bigger and there's less people out there, too.
Right.
But, not a big wave surfer by any means, really.
A New York big wave surfer,
yeah. Yeah.
I was talking to your wife, and she said that at times your Hawaiian accent, which I can obviously pick up, you hear it, but like it really comes out when you've had a drink or two. Is that right?
Occasionally. Yeah. A lot of people think I'm Canadian, too.
Okay.
I get that a lot. I used to get that in Hawaii a lot.
But it's pretty cool to have a, oh, here we go. This is like would have been about a chest high, head high set. But it's pretty cool to travel to a lot of these islands, and you expect that, you know, people are going to have, only somebody who looks local is going to have the local accent. But it's amazing when when you're in the Bahamas and stuff like that, in the Caribbean or something, and you hear a white guy talking with such a thick, you know, Rastafarian accent, and
right.
Like you can't even understand the kid. It's awesome. So, you feel like this is something, like, you've lived here how long now?
I'm going on 18 years.
Wow.
And so quite a while.
Quite a while, but you always have that accent.
I guess.
You don't hear it, do you?
I keep trying to shake it.
I love it. No, it's so cool. I think it's so cool. Great. Well, we're gonna probably just catch some waves out of here, I think, is the plan. But any parting words for people coming to visit you guys? I mean, it's pretty cool what you have going on, and I mean, I'd like to promote it as much as possible. But just as far as, like, you know, upcoming season, what can people expect?
Well, we're gonna be opening April 15th, the opening day of bass season.
Okay.
And we're going to have boats ready to rent.
Yep.
We have 5 boats now, and we hope to get a few more. And
right.
We have kayaks, too.
Okay.
And I suggest coming out in April or May if you really want to catch a nice fish. And we have everything there, poles, reels,
great.
Bait,
great.
Tackle.
Great.
You know, we special order stuff if you
yep.
need it. We can. We have Power Pro, regular line, you know, everything. We fix rod tips and new rods.
Sweet. Oh, you
and,
do? Oh,
yeah.
That's good to know about.
Yeah.
Okay. You do it yourself, or you have someone do it?
Well, some of the eyes we do
yeah.
right in the store, but
I'm still kind of
learning how to wrap the guide.
That's a little harder.
But I recently one of the old timers at the marina gave me a whole bunch of stuff. So I have all this rod wrapping stuff.
You've worked on surfboards, you can work on fishing rods right here.
I don't think it's going to be that hard, but I just haven't had the time to really dive in and see exactly how to do it, which I'm hoping to do with
sure.
As well as tie up a lot of rigs, and then I can sell super rigs, you know, by making them.
Right.
We hope to have Kenny's rigs coming up.
Kenny's rigs, nice.
Yeah. Well, I went kids through college.
With his rigs.
Yeah.
The Kenny fund. I've done some fishing for bluefish with literally a dowel and a hook. And they, like, so, you know, you can start your own bluefish line of lures pretty easily.
Oh, yeah. The bluefish, the tackle shop's dream.
Exactly.
He'll mess up pretty much
everything. Everything and anything, exactly.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Keone, thanks so much, man. I'll give you one of those.
Hey, right,
awesome.
Man.
Thanks, man.
This is a crazy interview out in the middle. That's
pretty nice spot we picked, I think.
About a half mile off.
I know where the hell are we. Call in the rescue. Cool. Well, you guys have heard it here. I just want to thank Roberta's and M Shanghai and Mark Barr and who else? All of the great sponsors who've helped us out on this derby. We're entering the last week, and I think it was a 45-inch striped bass that was in first place, and that fish is being reviewed currently by the committee. And we will keep you up to date. You can go to bkuaa.com to see who is in the lead and what you need to do to win the Brooklyn Fishing Derby. You heard it here. Pitch it, cook it, and eat it. Later.